Hey, Hawkeye fans, Chad Lysico and Kennington Smith of the Des Moines Register. We are live from Ohio Stadium. Been a while since the Hawkeyes played here. It's been 9 years. And it was not pretty today, Kennington. It's really, I would say it's getting tiresome to kind of be writing the same thing every week. But it really is the same old story every week. And I know fans are on here frustrated. Understandably so. Before we get going into some of the post-game reaction and whatnot, what was your overall reaction to today's Ohio State 54-10 victory over the Iowa Hawkeyes? The most points ever allowed by a Kirk Ferentz-coached Iowa team, yet it didn't seem like that at all, the way the defense played.
Yeah, that would probably be my first reaction, is that it sucks for the defense, because people who didn't watch the game are going to look at that score and think that Ohio State's offense dunked on one of the best defenses in the country statistically, and that really was not the case. But it was an ugly loss for Iowa. And I think that my biggest takeaway of all is that I think fans and us on the media side were coming into this thinking, even if the team lost the game, if there was – tangible progress, if they kept it close, if there was something to point to that you could come out of this even a loss and think that there is something salvageable for the season and there could be some things to build off of. I feel like this was probably the worst case scenario. I mean, obviously, worst offensive performance of the season, 6 turnovers, and fans are coming out of this game, at least in my post-game mailbag comments, a lot of them were asking if they should just punt on this season and look ahead to next year with 5 games left. And that was not the vibe that I was getting pregame, from the fans and the conversations that we had this week. So I think it kind of went from a bad to worse type of deal, third straight loss, albeit they probably played the 3 best teams in the Big Ten consecutively. So, you know, that's something to kind of, you know, consider as well. The rest of their schedule will not be as tough as what they faced in the last 3 weeks. But overall, I feel like it was an extremely disappointing day, and I feel like it just casts an even darker cloud over the season and sets the stage for what I think is going to be a very interesting offseason.
Yeah, well, we will get to more of the big picture, quarterback's room, future of the quarterback's coach, and some of the press conference comments very soon. But actually, as David Lane just replied to me on Twitter, how do you go 2 weeks, Kennington? Obviously, they stuck with Petras. We know that from Brian Ferentz's press conference before. But how do you go 2 weeks leading into this Ohio State game and decide that a rollout left out of shotgun is your best first play at Ohio Stadium? And he not only threw an interception, but he like threw it right to the guy. Like, number one, why are you throwing that? Why are you running a rollout left? Why are you throwing the pass? Like you can't throw that pass if you're a fifth year senior quarterback. All kinds of steps. And it was literally the first play out of a bye week for a quarterback making his 26th start and an offensive coordinator in his 6th year. Like, I don't understand. Like, nobody in the pregame room said, hey, maybe we shouldn't roll out left on the first play of the game against Ohio State with Chaz athletic playmakers. You know, maybe don't throw to Sam Laporta on the first play. You know, they might expect that. It just boggled my mind, because I like the idea of taking the ball first and trying to make a statement on offense, yet they made the worst possible statement you could. And it's just, that was really befuddling to me. I would love to have, you know, we didn't get to talk to Petras or Brian Ferentz, obviously, after. That would have been my first question. Like, how was that your first play out of the bye week?
Yeah, and to my last point about optimism and hoping to see something new, I feel like the first play set the tone for the rest of the game. And I think the ironic part about what you're bringing up is bye weeks are time for evaluation, assessing what you do well and don't do well. The rollouts have not been successful all season.
Not left, but yeah.
So to say that, you know, that's the first play out of the bye, again, to your point, against this type of team, it kind of spelled disaster from the beginning. And I think that whole sequence of that first interception to what the defense did after holding them to a field goal was
– And then scoring a touchdown was insane.
Yeah, that's Iowa's season in a nutshell.
Yeah.
Offense isn't performing. They're putting the defense in a bad spot. The defense is doing everything they can on top of scoring, going above and beyond. And it just wasn't enough, as it hasn't been in a lot of their games. Obviously, Ohio State scored 54 points in total, 47 on offense. But Iowa's defense held them far below their season average in so many categories. Total yards, third down, rushing yards, red zone offense. I mean, so many categories. Ohio State has been rolling over people with relative ease, and Iowa's defense really made it tough for them. And I told you, this might have been leading up to halftime, that with an average offense, the way the defense was playing, Iowa could have been winning at halftime. And if they weren't winning at halftime, then it could have been a very close competitive game into the fourth quarter. I believe on Iowa's turnovers and miscues in the first half, that gave Ohio State 16 points, and that was the exact margin that they led at halftime. So you can just point to that as one of the biggest takeaways of the game. So, you know, I would agree with you there in terms of what they decided to do coming out of the bye week. And I think, again, another microcosm coming in the second half. First play of the second half, they get an interception on defense, and then they fumble the very next play. It just kind of went from bad to worse all day, and it just seemed to spiral out of control. I think there hasn't been many games this year where Iowa's offense, like, you just see like compounded turnover on top of each other. It just kind of seemed to fall apart at the seams a bit as the game went on.
Yeah, I mean, you look at Ohio State's drive chart. I mean, I'll just read it off. Four plays, 1 yard. One play, negative 13 yards. That was the Joe Evans scoop and score. 10 plays, 75 yards. So that was the one time Ohio State kind of steadily marched down the field, took a 10-7 lead. Four plays, 4 yards. That was a field goal. Five plays, 17 yards. Another field goal. Five plays, 22 yards. Punt. Eight plays, 24 yards. Another field goal. That might have been after the – I think that was after the Torrey Taylor debacle there. I can't even keep all the turnovers in Iowa's own territory straight. And then a kneel down. And then the first play of the second half is an interception by Jack Campbell. And even after the Alex Padilla fumble on his first snap, Iowa holds him to a 3-and-out and a punt. So literally, that's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 Ohio State possessions in which they scored 19 offensive points. And 12 of those points were on extremely, extremely short fields where so you essentially held the number one offense in the country to one long drive out of 10. And that is just – that's why it's so not cool that Iowa's defense gets stuck with 54 in this game. All right. Enough on that. Let's talk quarterbacks, Kennington. Obviously, what did you think? Obviously, the situation Iowa put Alex Padilla into was not ideal. What did you make of Iowa making that change at halftime? I mean, was that the right time to do it? Was it unfair to Alex? Should they have done it sooner? Should they have done it before the game started? Obviously, second guessing all the time when it doesn't go well. What were your thoughts on that?
Yeah, I think it was. I mean, I think it was several weeks too late. And I feel like I've said this on a previous pod we've done. Maybe it was this week or another week before that. If it wasn't going into the bye week or sometime before, I just didn't know when would be the right time. And I think that, to your point, it was very unfair to Alex. He was put in an extremely tough spot. The last two times we've seen Alex Padilla play were with insurmountable leads against two national championship contenders, Michigan in the Big Ten championship game and Ohio State today. I mean, what was he supposed to do? And obviously he had his miscues. He fumbled the snap. He threw the interception. I'm not excusing that, but it was a tough spot. And as the game went on, he didn't show much in the second half to inspire much confidence. I don't know exactly where they're going to go, whether it's going to be Spencer Petras or Alex Padilla. Truthfully, I don't know how much it matters, just given everything else that's happening offensively. it was a really, really, really tough day for the offensive line. And I know this is a quarterback question, but the offensive line made it impossible for either of them to get much going. And for as mobile as Alex is, and he evaded some sacks, there were some things that were unavoidable in that second half where he took some hard hits. And here's what I'll say about this. And, you know, just the quarterback situation as a whole, there was a lot of conversation leading up to this about the what's the upside comment and all of that. And I saw a lot of fans on Twitter taking an opportunity to kind of dunk on Alex or people who had the opinion that he should have been playing earlier because he had a lot of struggles in the second half. And to that, I would say the energy shouldn't be directed at Alex or people who had the opinion that he should be playing. What you really should be considering here is that the coaching staff, mainly Kirk Ferentz and Brian Ferentz, knew the quarterback room that they had at the end of last season and did not go out and seek outside help from the transfer portal. This is what Iowa's quarterback room was at the end of last year. There hasn't been much progression from last year to this year, so this is what Iowa's quarterback room is. So I feel like there needs to be kind of like a shift in frustration or wanting to make snarky comments or whatever from the players to the ones who are actually making the decisions at the top.
Yeah, I was busy tweeting out my column there. It's up now. So if you want to read about Brian Ferentz, the quarterback's room, or the quarterback's decision going forward, that is now posted at hawkcentral.com. In which I do get into what happened at the end of the press conference, Kennington. So let's go to that now. Doug Lemaries of the Cleveland Plain Dealer was the person who asked Kirk Ferentz a lot of very pointed questions, pretty much surrounding the nepotism topic. Now, a little background there is that Doug is has been covering the Buckeyes for a long time. He writes exclusively about the Buckeyes, but also is, you know, and Ohio State is like a major, it's like a pro market, you know. So these guys are like Ohio State's media core is like on a NFL level, you know what I mean? Like there's a ton, and he is kind of probably, I mean, I would say he's probably the most pronounced voice in Ohio State media. That's my opinion. So it would be like pick your favorite NFL team, you know, your favorite columnist, whatever. Like, to me, that is kind of what he is for Ohio State football. Now, maybe other people don't feel the same way, but he's a very significant voice in Ohio State coverage, let's say. So when I saw him at the Ferentz presser, I definitely took note of it because I had listened to some of their podcasts this week with our colleagues at, you know, in Columbus, Nathan Baird included. And, you know, Doug had been very critical of, you know, the head coach of Iowa having the worst offense in the country, and his son is the offensive coordinator, and he has a $42 million buyout, and he's basically like, I'm not firing my son. You're not buying me out. So, and he thought that was kind of his stance, that it was it was not a good situation to put the Iowa football program into. And that is kind of what he asked Kirk Ferentz about. Do you think it's unfair that you are putting the Iowa football program in that position? And as I wrote in my column, it was a fair question. Now, we've asked the question about Brian, you know, would you fire a coach? Scott asked Brian a couple weeks ago, you know, would you resign? You know, we're going down the list of all the things, you know, Kirk's saying Brian's a good coach, all that. But I thought the line of questioning was fair. It was tough, but fair. Even if it was repetitive to some of us, this is the most major market in the Big Ten Conference and one of the most major college football markets in the country. And it's when you see an offense like Ohio State's and you cover that regularly, and then you see an offense like Iowa's and you say, okay, that coach, his son's the offensive coordinator. That's the worst offense I've ever seen. Like, you can understand where all that is coming from. So I did not have a problem with the line of questioning. But it clearly was calculated, and I'm sure he's writing about that as well. I know I rambled a lot there, but there was a lot to unpack with how that unfolded and the context to which it, I think, needs to have a little context.
Yeah, for sure. And before I get into that, to my point, I agree with everything that you're saying, and I would just preface it with this. I feel like Iowa media has done a good job of asking those pointed questions, but if you go and listen to the tone in his voice and that actual exchange, there is a level of – it's a little bit easier for somebody who's not in the Iowa media market to be that aggressive and pointed in his line of questioning, because they're not going to be in those pressers like every single week, right? That makes sense. Like, they're not going to have to work in Iowa media like day to day. It will be hard to get something out of the coaches asking those type of pointed questions like that. So I would say to that point, and that's it. And I agree with the line of questioning and everything. Here's the biggest takeaway that I have. Last year, we talked so much about the opportunity that Iowa has to advance their national brand, reaching number two in the country, playing on national television in big games, all of those things. 1 year later, everything that you just said now, Iowa's offense is terrible and the head coach's son is the offensive coordinator. That is Iowa's brand now. That's what Iowa's brand is nationally in 2022. Is that fair? Probably not to the defense and the special teams that have played so well. But when you think about Iowa's football team this year, that is what people are going to think of and come to mind the most. The fact that the offense hasn't performed well, that Brian Ferentz is the offensive coordinator. And while it feels like change should be coming and maybe it is inevitable, there's no guarantee that that's going to happen. So you go on your timeline every Saturday, and if you follow college football throughout the week, that is the conversation around Iowa nationally, and that's what they're known for right now. So, you know, I think that is just, you know, another example of exactly kind of what the state of the program is right now, that you have esteemed columnists from other major markets kind of, you know, coming at Kirk Ferentz like this in these pressers, that this has grown to be a pretty big problem in the program that is definitely going to have to be rectified in some way once the season ends.
Yeah, sorry, I noticed someone was coming in your thing, and so I think someone was kind of coming in here trying to move us along here, but we're undeterred. We're going to keep going. We're going to press forward to finish this podcast. We've got some three-word headlines coming up. Dargan, our producer, said that I think someone in the chat said this quote from Jim Leonard, which, you know, his Wisconsin team thrashed Purdue, by the way. So the Big Ten West just gets more insane by the day. But his quote afterward, I think this was after the game, "Tradition doesn't die if you adapt." That was a Jim Leonard quote. Interesting to bring that up. And to kind of finish the point on the quarterback conversation, what Kirk Ferentz actually said was that with Brian Ferentz, you know, they will make those decisions at the end of the season regarding what is best for the program. So, I mean, I have to think that the time is ending for this experiment. I mean, that was kind of what I wrote about in my column, not to spoil it all. I feel like you guys should read it. But Iowa went with a quarterbacks coach that admittedly said he doesn't know a lot about the quarterback position, knows a lot about the offense, obviously, but the quarterback position has not developed. And they, you know, between them committed 5 turnovers today in the first 2 quarters plus 2 possessions. You know, and then by that point, I was down 33-10, despite the defense's best effort. So, yeah, the future of the quarterback position certainly is a quarterback's room. I mean, I think we're looking at a new quarterback's coach, probably a new offensive coordinator. I mean, I know that maybe people don't believe that, but I think it's got to be leading to that point. I mean, Kirk has to see that, I think. You know, if they make Brian the O-line coach, so be it, but they need to take a new direction on offense. And then someone else asked here, Kenny, can I throw this one to you, and then we'll get to three-word headlines. What is the benefit of waiting on the Brian Ferentz decision? And obviously Kirk Ferentz spoke to that, but what is the benefit on waiting on that decision? What is the upside to waiting on that decision?
I don't know. I don't know. I mean, honestly, I don't know what the upside would be of firing him right now. I mean, the offense is what it is. There's not – firing Brian Ferentz isn't going to change the offensive line struggles. It's not going to change the fact that the receiver room is beat up and it hasn't progressed well. I don't know. I definitely don't think it's going to change the quarterback play. Maybe somebody on staff will be a better play caller. But I think that this is just the situation that Iowa's offense is in. I mean, I guess the only upside would be that fans would probably be a little bit happier and Kirk Ferentz wouldn't have to answer those questions any longer. But I think that this is the situation that Iowa's in. The time to do the time for these changes was in January.
Right.
That was the time to do it. Right now, I don't know how much is going to change. So They got to get through the season as they will. Maybe they'll get to bowl eligibility, maybe they won't. And immediately after the Big Ten Championship game weekend is when the clock is going to start ticking.
Real quick, I would say let's take a hot take here. Who should start next week? I think after seeing them both play today, I think you at least got to give Alex Padilla the first team reps this week to me and give him a shot. And, I mean, maybe even tell him, I don't know if you tell him this, but maybe understand that, that we want to win these five. This is their message. We want to win these five games. We're giving you the first shot. If it's not going well, we're going to make a change because we like what Spencer brings to the table. Again, I'm talking like the coaches here. I don't know if that's the right, I don't think that's Iowa's the way they operate, though. I think if they give the guy the job, they kind of like want him to take it and run with it. So right. I think I would just like to see Padilla get a full week of first team reps because clearly that showed up today. That he was not ready for that moment. And like you said, should have been given that opportunity at some point sooner. I think we've seen kind of the Petras thing play out. And again, he's still on the team. He can come off the bench if he needs to. That's where I lean, I guess, but I wouldn't be surprised if they go back to Spencer.
Yeah. I would say give Alex an opportunity to start a game fresh with the ones again against a team that is not contending for a national title down several possessions. But I don't think I would be surprised either way just because what Alex showed in the second half, especially in those first few plays, does not inspire much confidence.
Right. Three-word headlines. First one, let me know. Let's go through them here.
I got one.
Yeah, go ahead. I tagged a bunch, but
I got one from Cody Hills, who does the Iowa Sim. This is one we've seen multiple times this year. Defense deserved better.
Yeah.
You would get no argument from me on that one. I'm trying to find exactly who said it, but somebody put bowl eligibility unlikely.
Yeah, interesting. That's an interesting topic. I mean, they've got to win three of their last five to get to a bowl game, which would be, it would be good for this team to get those extra bowl practices. They clearly need them. But at the same time, you could kind of reboot offensively potentially a little quicker if you could make a coordinator change. I mean, I'm not saying they're going to. That's an interesting topic. I mean, obviously it's clear based on Noah Shannon, Jack Campbell, Joe Evans, Kayvon Merriweather, the four defensive guys, especially that talk today, they are not holding the offense responsible. They want to finish strong. They want to play again. Like, this defense still could lead this team to, I'm not going to say special things, but they could. This defense is good enough. We saw today, if the offense could do just a little bit, they could win four of these last five games.
Yeah.
And it's not a great season, but right now that sounds pretty good. I'm just to cover something different.
Yeah. I put that in my mailbag. They're going for their 10th straight bowl appearance. That means they haven't had a losing season in 10 years. That is something to that's something to play for. And maybe a losing season might be what's necessary for drastic changes, but I don't think that fans want that, nor should they be cheering for that or hoping for that. Here's one from Danny Lawhone. I hope y'all said that correctly. He said he only needed one word that's hyphenated. I've seen a lot of these upside down, and I've seen Iowa upside down. I've seen a lot of like play on that word.
Yeah. Dave Laughlin feels like 1998. Getting a lot of vibe of that of late. Hayden Fry's final year, where just things took a big nosedive really quick. This is the most points Iowa has allowed in a game since 1995, which was the game Ohio State led 56-0 in the second quarter. Iowa rallied to lose 56-35. So they actually showed some offense in that game eventually. But anyway, go ahead.
Here's an interesting one. And this is from TC Hawkeye Fan. Worse than 1999. And he says that he followed that up with, I'm not kidding. At least the O-line and bad quarterback play that year was understandable. This in year 24 is not understandable nor acceptable.
Yeah. And as I wrote in my early thoughts out of the game, it is a huge shame to waste this, what is, looks really like an elite defense. We kind of outlined the 10 drives Ohio State had. The first 10 drives really only did something on one of them. That's pretty impressive for an offense that had scored 30 touchdowns in 38 previous drives coming in, first-team offense. So, interesting. Anna Kaiser, I got to give her the shout-out on that, former DI reporter. What's the upside? What's the upside was obviously Brian Ferentz reference there. What's the upside to the rest of this season? I guess is kind of where I would go with that. What do you think?
Avoiding a losing season.
Yeah.
I think that's where it's at. It's not impossible that they would win the Big Ten West if they win out. It is very, very unlikely, though. They're going to need a lot of help to do that, and they're going to have to win out, like I said. So I feel like avoiding a losing season is probably the ceiling for this team. Here's one from Randy Redo, 57, program on heels.
Yeah.
Another big picture-esque three-word headline.
Ray Cole, Woodshed, Ohio, 43210. I've seen that one a lot in reference to the Woodshed, Iowa from 2017. Now, this is disappointing. Gabe Johnson, he's out, okay? He says, oh, hi, nope. No three-word headlines from Gabe. You know, if he's not given 15 three-word headlines, things are really bad out there.
Yeah. There was one that's not a three-word headline, but I did think it was funny. Didn't score 55, which is technically four words, but Ohio State was going. They were going for it. They were trying to run up the score. There was a lot of throwing the ball, and they were trying to up the ante a little bit. Defense did everything that they could, but didn't get to 55.
Yeah, it's crazy. CJ Stroud ends up throwing for four touchdowns, but it was all after kind of the dam collapsed, you know. And two of them, were in the fourth quarter and deep. One of them was deep into the fourth quarter. Add Your Name says tickets for sale. Yeah, that season tickets sell out. And the last one I've got is Lardo Calrissian. Sorry, ending of era. Ending of era. I don't know if it's over yet, but on that note, Kennington, I think Ferentz clearly has to adapt. He has to adapt, just like Jim Leonard said. He has to, essentially adapt or die in a football sense going forward. It's past time, but it's got to happen now if he's going to do it. And he's going to have to cut ties with his son to do it.
I didn't mean to cut you off. I'm sorry. If you need any further illustration of adapting or dying, Nick Saban, who is the greatest coach in college football history, went away from Alabama's run power formations, play good defense, game manager quarterbacks, the AJ McCarrons, the Greg McElroys, and now they are throwing the ball a million times a game and scoring a million points, and their defense might not be as good, but they're still winning national championships. I don't think there's any Alabama fans who are griping about the offense that was. Nick Saban understood what it took to win at the highest level, and he made that change pretty much without a hiccup. So if the greatest coach in college football history can make such a change, what is holding Kirk Ferentz back, who was very well respected and long tenured in his own right? So,
well, and that's what Doug's point has been on the podcast this week. It's like, if your son is the offensive coordinator, that is holding you back if you're not willing to make a change because of the familial tie there. So it kind of brings this whole conversation full circle. Kirk Ferentz, quoted as saying today that he's going to judge everyone the same, fairly. He's basically said they've got to earn everything they get, the players, just like coaches do. And then he also added, I don't think we're doing anything wrong regarding Brian Ferentz. So kind of defending his program there. So there you have it. There you have it. Final words, Kennington, as we hit, we might as well wrap up here at the 30-minute mark. Multiple requests to see Cooper DeJean at quarterback, by the way. But I do not think that's happening.
Right. I don't think it's happening either. Final words, I would just say, you know, thank you for everybody who listened to the podcast. Keep reading our stuff at Hawk Central. I have a post-game mail back up where I address a lot of topics, including the transfer portal. I feel like it is inevitable that I will go into the transfer portal this year. You can read my reasons why on hawkcentral.com. Shameless plug.
Yeah. I pretty much have to, I think, to get any success next season. So anyway, there you have it for Chad Lystico of the Register, Kennington Smith. You know, we made this journey all the way out here and didn't see an offensive touchdown. Maybe next week the Hawkeyes break that 28-possession drought without a touchdown against the vaunted Northwestern Wildcats, who lost again today to Maryland. So they've lost six in a row. So that should be a win for the Hawkeyes, but we'll be there and we'll report back. Thanks to everyone for listening, and we'll talk to you soon.